I'm not looking for any help.
Fuck.
Besides,
you.
Nothing to help with.
Hey!
Yellow.
You can't just climb into my boat.
Yeah, you're right. Give me a helping hand.
What are you doing?
There are no fish out there this time of day. In fact, there are no fish out here any time of day.
Peter. Just give me an hour. And I will give you a whole new life.
Ooh.
Who says I want one? I'm telling you. There's no fish out there.
How did this happen? What did she do?
I'm giving you the chance to change your life. Peter, come with me. Give up catching fish and I will make you a fisher of men.
What are we gonna do?
Change the world.
Turn me to Luke chapter 5. Inspiring, isn't it?
Yes.
Let's look at where this was taken from. In Luke chapter 5, this is the moment we just watched. The calling of the first disciples. And my lesson title for you this morning is Let's Change the World.
Come on, bro.
That Peter, there he was. He had no purpose. And Jesus was calling him to something special. And here we're going to find this scene where this was inspired right here in verse 1. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. And he got in one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. An incredible moment. I love right here the depiction right here as we saw this scene where Jesus just rolls up on the lake and Peter obviously just got done fishing. And Jesus hops in very comically, and he just like plops down right there. Just picturing the Lord just plopping down on the boat right there, right? And Peter is like, all right, let's go out. What are we going to do? And I love that moment after he sees the miraculous catch and he asks Jesus, what are we going to do? Change the world. And that's exactly what they did. And this morning, I believe we're going to spend time here in this text. And we've got to hear some things this morning that are going to help us because we are disciples who want to change the world. And we see that the world needs to be changed. And I think we want to talk about two important things this morning. If we're going to be the people that's going to change not only this city, but the entire world. Right here, Jesus, the Bible says that he's standing by the lake and there's a crowd of people around there listening to him teach the word of God. Yeah. And they're by the water's edge and he hops into a boat. And why we know he gets in a boat? Because, well, a body of water is an amplifier. And if you're on a lake and you got somebody out on a lake, the water actually amplifies the sound and you can hear somebody from the boat. Wow. So Jesus knew that because he knows all things. And so he's preaching because they didn't have microphones back then. Amen. And he's teaching them. And when he gets done, and he just happens to be in Peter's boat. Right? No. He knew exactly what he was doing. Yeah. And he tells Peter, put out a little from the shore. And then when he gets done, he's like, all right, Peter. Let's go out into deep water for a catch. He's like, man, I've worked hard all night. I thought I was done. I was ready to go home. But all right, since you say so, I'll do it. I mean, the humility of Peter right there. I mean, listening to a carpenter tell him about how to go fish right there. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And then he does it, and then something miraculously happens. And that's why our first point simply has to be this. Miracles only begin when you are in the deep end.
Come on, bro.
Here we find Jesus telling Peter to go into the deep end. And let me tell you what. True Christianity only happens when we're in the deep waters. Yeah. See, many people like their Christianity with Jesus just being in the boat and they're standing on the shore just listening. And that's how some people come in. Like, well, let me listen in. Make a little taste test, right? And we're like a menu society. Like, oh, let me try that. Okay, that sounds good. Oh, so you're talking about forgiveness. I take that right there. Okay. Oh, mercy and grace. I love that. Oh, sold outness. Oh, don't like that. All right, commitment. Oh, don't like that. Tithing. Oh, money. They talked about money. All right. Oof, no, I can't do that. All right. This is not the place for me. Are you with me? We just like, we church shop. People get caught up in church, like, I'm just seeing it. This is the place for me. So we want a Christianity that suits us instead of us, right, putting ourselves into God and what He desires. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Or some just want their Christianity just a little out from the shore.
Yeah.
Ankle deep.
Wow.
Right? Or maybe they're like knee deep. But if they're still knee deep, then you're still kind of in control of the situation.
Yeah.
And that's how some of us kind of want our Christianity. I want to be in control. All
right,
I want to tell you what I want to do, God. I want to tell you how committed I want to be. And I'll tell you, God, if I want to show up, I'm going to show up. But if not, then, you know, that's just where I'm going to be. That's how I like my Christian. Just a little out from the shore.
Right.
But Jesus is proving a point right here. Like, no. Hey, Peter, you got to go to the deep end.
Yeah.
Because when you go to the deep end, man, that's when things really start happening. That's when you really start seeing the miracles.
Right.
See, people just want to try Christianity, see if this is going to work out. But it's a sad thing. Christianity is not something you try doing. Being a Christian, that's just who you are.
Yeah.
Being like Jesus is just who you are. It's not something you do just on Sundays. It's not something you just do on Wednesday night. It's not something you just do if you're in a little Bible talk. It's just who you are 24/7. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And Jesus, what we get very, number one, he's got to be in the boat.
Yeah.
You know, in the Bible, there are many references to boats. And there's one in particular that we all know well, and we grew up listening to it in Sunday school class, right?
Yeah.
The ark.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. Only 8 were saved in it. But what does the ark symbolize for us today?
Mm.
The church. Yeah. Right? So Jesus, number one, has to be in the boat. He has to be in the church.
Mm.
Right? Well, where does the boat need to be? If it's really going to be miraculous, if it's really going to change the world, the boat has to be, the church has to be in the deep end if we're going to get a miraculous catch and change this world. See, but sometimes we can get like verse 5, like Peter. Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. And sometimes we get caught up in our Christianity like, man, Jesus, I've been going at this all night, every week, every day, and nothing's happening. But there's a reason why Jesus told him to go into the deep end. Yeah. Jesus wasn't in the boat when he was doing that. Right. And sometimes we lose sight that, man, we're not connected and we're rooted in a relationship with God day in and day out. Guess what discipleship is going to feel like? Drudgery and frustration like Peter felt. Right. And it's never supposed to be that way. Even John 15 says, hey, I am the vine, you are the true branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Right.
So Jesus says, hey, you got to be connected to the vine. And you're connected to the vine, then you bear much fruit.
On,
are you with me right here?
Yeah.
See, we can't do this without God.
Right.
We can't try to do it half-hearted. Because what it does end up happening, if you felt that way, it just becomes frustration. Mm-hmm. You know, and I love Peter's humility. Like, all right, because you say so, I will. Mm-hmm. I will let down the nets. Yeah. You know, if you find yourself wondering why you're not changing, why you're not seeing the miracles in your life, then you got to ask yourself, is Jesus in the boat with you? Have you been just in the shallow end, or are you in the deep end? Because it's not until you're in the deep end when you really start seeing your life change. When you really start seeing the growth, and you really start seeing yourself mature. When you really start seeing yourself overcome things. It's when you allow yourself to go deep with God. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Without that, you're going to be a very frustrated Christian.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus was trying to get this point across in one of his most famous parables. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. In Mark 4, in verse 1.
He's awesome, bro.
In verse 1 it says again, Jesus began to teach by like, see, Jesus loved teaching by water. The crowd that gathered around him was so large and that he got into a boat. And he sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore. So he's trying to get them to get in the deep end right now. At the water's edge, he taught them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said, listen, a farmer went out to sow a seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. And the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up and the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. And then Jesus helps us out and explains the parable, verse 14. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. And as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like the seed sown on the rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like the seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like the seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. What a parable.
Yeah.
And we know this one. Many of us heard this one before. I mean, Jesus talking about the farmer scattering the seed. And we are the farmers that go out and try to catch a harvest. Mm-hmm. And the seed, as the Bible says, is the word of God.
Yeah.
And so we're out there spreading the word of God. And what we got to allow the word to do is to get deep into our hearts. And everybody is one of these two categories, before a Christian, and even, I dare say, even have to wrestle with this, even afterwards.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
It's something you got to constantly do, is making sure you're allowing yourself to go deep with God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the first one, the seed just falls on, what does it fall on? This falls on the surface right there, right?
Yeah.
Just in the path. And that heart, it's the heart condition right there, right? The heart is basically just hard.
Yeah.
And maybe you're just hardened by sin. Maybe you're just hardened by your own pride. Maybe you're just hardened by just life. You know, and that's why you just don't want God's word to come in.
Yeah.
Because maybe you've been hurt by people in the church. Maybe you've been hurt by life, by parents. You're like, man, no, wait, nuh-uh. I'm hardening my heart. Mm-hmm. And so that's why the word just bounces off. And Satan's able to come in there and snatch it off. And it doesn't produce anything. It doesn't penetrate. The next person, the Bible says in verse 16, is like a seed sown on rocky places. They hear the word and at once receive it with joy. Like, you hear the message. And you're fired up like, whoa, that was really stirring. Man, I never heard him preach like that. Man, that was a great Bible study. That was awesome. And you're all excited. The fellowship is great. You love the people. You're getting the hugs. People are telling you're awesome constantly. Like, man, I am awesome. This is great. What? People love me. Well, this is great, right? And you know, they're fired up. But they haven't done anything. They haven't applied the word. It's just surfacey. It's just shallow. They're here, maybe they're slapping the high fives and all that stuff, and all that's great. But they're not changing. They're just hearing it. And all it is just information transfer, but not heart transformation. And so what happens? When trouble or persecution come, they quickly fall away. Like, whoa! You didn't tell me it was going to be this hard. Well, actually we did, but at some point you just didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
Right? So you didn't go back and study this out for yourself. This life is great. Right, but it's no pleasure cruise.
Yeah.
All right, this is a whitewater rafting trip.
Oh, amen.
Right?
Yes.
So if you want the pleasure cruise, then you can go to some other denominational church that just tells you you're awesome, you're fine, you've got to repent.
Dang.
But here, God's standard is going to be upheld.
Come on, bro.
Come on. Convict us, bro.
Are you with me right here?
Yeah.
And verse 17. Since they had no verse 18. Still others, like seeds sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Now this person actually allows the word to go in their heart. But things, as they go on and they mature, thorns in their life will grow up as the word is growing up as well. And if they don't deal with the thorns, it will choke out the word. It'll choke out their relationship with God, making them unfruitful. Mm. I mean, I think many of us can relate. The worries of this life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Me right now, some of you probably were worried when you were walking in.
Yeah.
Right?
Talk about it.
Thinking about, oh my gosh, what about like my week? Holy cow. Let me just get through the day. So I'm worried about Monday happening. Like, Jesus, please let us just sing, I will call upon the Lord, and you just show up right now. Because I don't want to worry about rent. I don't want to worry about this exam. Like, oh Jesus, please. The worries of this life. Right? Just choke it out. You know, it says the deceitfulness of wealth. I appreciate Jackie just laying it out. You know, I mean, Jackie, she's got conviction.
Come on, Jackie.
And, you know, and I appreciate her being vulnerable, but hey, just this is what she loves to do. And I think many of us can relate to that in some form or fashion.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to order a pizza delivered to my house like every night of the week if I had my way.
Yeah.
That's heaven for me on earth.
Yeah.
But my finances can't support that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? And I can be deceived like, oh, let me just charge it. Right? And think about how much this this country is like in credit card debt.
Yeah.
I mean, the average each person is about 7 to 10 grand in credit card debt.
Oh,
are we a greedy country? I dare say yes.
Oh, dude.
The deceitfulness of wealth. And don't be deceived, college students, and even those of you who think that you don't have a lot of money. All right, that you can't be greedy. You can be greedy with not a lot of money.
Yeah.
You're just like, uh-uh. No. That's like, I want my $5. All right. Well, what are you going to spend your $5 on? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But what? The deceitfulness of wealth. Here's a big one. The desire for other things. Desiring other things other than being close to God. Desiring other things and helping advance God's kingdom. Desiring other things and just helping out God's family and helping yourself out and just being righteous every single day. We can desire other things.
Yeah.
We can desire more of be more focused on our job, be more focused on our families. We can be more focused on wanting a relationship. And when those things aren't happening, because you want these other things, because you get caught up in wanting these other things more than God, more than being in His kingdom, and you worry more about that, and it's what consumes you all day and all night, and you get so overwhelmed and anxious, you don't realize that God's word is being choked out. And then you wonder, why am I here?
Yeah.
Why do I got to be here? Why I got to... Hold on a second. I'm going to do this for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You know why I know that? Because I've been there.
Yeah.
And don't make mistakes about it. Even though I'm 15 years old spiritually, I still, again, this still applies to me, church.
Yeah.
Oh, bro.
I worry.
It's
true.
I can get deceived by wealth.
Yeah.
All right. Greed is in my heart, and I got to stamp it out all the time. Special missions is good for me. Because it challenges my, yes, convictions. It challenges my convictions, but also challenges my faith. Do I believe that the world has to be evangelized? Do I believe that God, He has the money out there, and I just got to go ask for it to fund my missionaries, my brothers and sisters that are on the front lines in Lagos.
Yeah.
My brothers and sisters that are in Moscow on the front lines out there. My brothers and sisters, Roz and Debs, who are in Chennai. You know, my other brothers and sisters that are leading the daily church, who literally sleep, right, on a dirt floor.
Wow, dude.
While I'm comfy in my queen-size bed with my comforter that's starting to get holes. Next to my wife, she sews it up.
Come on, Gordon.
Maybe she didn't want me to share that, but amen. It's being recorded. But I think we can all relate to that.
Yeah.
The desire for other things.
Yeah.
We wonder why, like, why are we not being fruitful? It's just very simple. Why your life isn't bearing fruit? Just like, what is choking you out? And that's what you just got to battle day in and day out. And making sure God's word is penetrating your heart, that you are going deep with God. The soil that we want is the good soil. When you allow that to go deep, when you allow yourself, allow the boat, allow the church to be out in the deep end, then you really start seeing God move in a great way.
Yeah.
You really start seeing the miraculous catch. I mean, look at that. Peter was blown away.
Yeah.
He's like,
all right, we'll see this, Jesus. All right. What do you know, carpenter?
Right? And he goes out the deep end. And he's like, right? And Peter's like, what did you do? And I just love that scene, like, Jesus is stirring the water right there, right? He's stirring it up, like, he starts pulling in all these fish, and he's just chilling back, like, told you so. Stay in the deep end, right? And he's blown away!
Right?
And God wants to do that to you day in and day out. I mean, it says, hey, 30 to 60 or 100 times what was sown.
Amen.
Imagine you bearing fruit 30, 60, 100 times. Imagine the church. The church right now is just 37, but imagine 100 times that.
Wow.
That we're, yes, the services are just, the campus ministry is just here in the union, down in the Hyde Auditorium by itself, having its own worship service.
Dang.
While the rest of the church is meeting in regional. That's going to happen one day.
Yeah.
Because we're living in the deep ends.
Yeah.
When you allow yourself to go there, then God really moves in a great way. You know, I really want to lift up a brother who's awesome, and all of you are awesome, but in particular, I want to lift him up this morning. That's Isaac Garcia. You know, I mean, I just announced it, like, he turned one spiritually on the 14th, you know, and that's a big deal. You know, it's a big deal right there. I mean, each one's a big deal.
Yeah.
All right. And, you know, I appreciate his heart. I mean, you all remember that lesson that he preached not too long ago. It was a few months ago, right? And he just was like, man, what are we doing? You know, and he was realizing that really he just hadn't been in the deep end.
Yeah.
He was here, he was showing up and stuff like that, encouraging. He's an encouraging, warm brother. He's awesome, right?
Yeah.
But he realized, like, man, I can be doing a whole heck of a lot more.
Come on.
And I appreciate it because he's got to overcome some things, but he just allowed, he's like, man, I got to go deep in my relationship with God. Like, no, like, God can move. I appreciate that. He grabbed the hold of Jose. He's like, Jose, let's go.
Yeah,
like, man, we got to do something. We got to stir some stuff up, man.
Sure.
I appreciate it. I mean, he was coming out to campus. I mean, he graduated.
Come on.
Yeah.
But he was still coming to campus about 3 days out of the week with Jose.
Come on.
After he gets off work and just coming here and just sharing his faith.
Awesome.
All right. Giving his heart to his household, making sure he's staying close to God and his time with the Lord. All right.
Yeah.
And this is what he was doing week in and week out. Just coming here. All right. And it was awesome. Like, and when you're in the deep end, again, God blesses it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
They out there, they meet Tellus.
Come on,
Tellus starts studying the Bible, and they go over and start studying the Bible with Tellus one day. The next thing you know, Tellus has got a roommate, Matt. Matt's like, hey, I want to see God.
Right.
A few weeks later, Matt's your brother is baptized last week. Amen. And that just goes to show, when you're in the deep end, God just moves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the church is in the deep end, there is a miraculous catch.
Yeah.
And I got to call us this morning. If you've been in the shallow ends, if you're on the shore this morning, if you've been studying the Bible and you're on the shore, I challenge you, to get in the boat. To be humble. Like Peter was. Like, all right, Jesus, because you say so, I'm getting in the boat.
Yeah.
Because that's where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, and if you've been just on the shore, if you've just been knee deep, and Jesus is calling you to be all in, and I challenge you to get all in.
Come on, bro.
Because the church has got to be in the deep end. We've got to get to every region in Sacramento. Yeah. But the only way we're going to do that, if all of us are in the deep waters. Are you with me?
Yeah, come on, Jacob.
Let's go back to Luke chapter 5. Let's see how this plays out here. In Luke 5, in verse 8. The nets begin to break. Both boats are full. He's got to call his partners in. And watch what happens next in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch that they had taken. And so were James and John and the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And so they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed them. And my last point is this. When you know you don't deserve anything, you are ready to serve with everything.
Wow. Come on, bro.
Peter hears the call. He sees the catch. And I love it. The Bible says he literally falls at Jesus' knees and he says, "Lord, go away from me. I'm a sinful man." I mean, he saw that he didn't deserve to be in the presence of the Master. And he was so astonished. Like, oh my gosh. And you know when somebody is just in awe of God. They're just amazed. Like, whoa. God, you are powerful. And you remember when you responded to God's word like that. Like, whoa, you just heard God's word and affected your heart. Like, man, oh my gosh, God is calling me. And that's where he was at. He knew it. He knew he was unworthy. And he says, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm just a sinful man." I mean, probably because... what was his heart a few verses before this? Like, all right, whatever. We worked hard all night, man. Come on. And then he realized, like, gosh, how could I say that?
Yeah.
And I love how Peter understood who Jesus was. That he was Lord. That there was a soberness.
Yeah.
That he was in touch. That he knew that he was unworthy. And he just said, "Hey, Lord, please, just go away from me. I don't deserve to have you in my presence. I don't deserve to be here. I mean, how could I be like that?" And I love God's, Jesus' heart right there. He said, "Hey, you know what? Don't be afraid. I'm calling you something great. We're going to go catch men. We're going to go change the world." And I love the scripture says they pulled their boats up on shore, leave everything and follow Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, when you know where you're at, you are ready to give up everything. And to serve with everything you got.
Yeah.
You know, it takes though a soberness to where you're at.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
You know, Romans 12 verse 3 says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment."
Wow.
There's this soberness to knowing like who we are and where we're at.
Yeah.
You know, Romans 6 verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Yeah.
You know, I've read that scripture many, many times when I'm studying the Bible with people and helping them in their relationship with God and have one. And this morning when I was going back over it, I mean, I forgot that it says Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yeah.
And that's where Peter saw Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is our Savior, but he's also Lord. And there's a soberness when you're really in touch with the grace of God. When you really understand what the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
What's a wage? It's something you earn.
Yeah.
And so what is the reality of everybody? What do we deserve?
Death.
Yeah. We deserve death. That is the reality.
True.
But the gift of God, grace, is eternal life in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's what Peter saw. It's like, whoa, I don't deserve a thing. But man, you're calling me? I'm ready to give you everything.
Yeah.
Let's go. What a heart.
Yeah.
But it takes knowing where you're really at. Yeah. We can never forget the message that changed our lives for eternity. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2.
Come on, bro.
In Acts 2, in verse 36, not coincidentally, but the person that's speaking right here is Peter. And look what he says in verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? One of the things that we can never, ever forget. And I appreciate Dylan this morning, I mean, this young man who was just freshly baptized about 2 months ago, right? 2-3 months ago, up there sharing communion for the first time.
Wow.
And what the cross means to him. And we've got to keep the cross close to our heart. Because the reality that all of us understand and where we're at, and what Peter was communicating right here, is that we crucify Jesus. We are murderers, is the reality. That Jesus is Lord and Christ. Right?
Yeah.
But nobody likes to hear that.
Yeah.
But it affected them. It's that the Bible says it was cut to the heart. Like, what, wait, I did what? I'm sorry, Your Honor, what was that? Yes, you killed Jesus. Wow, really? I had no idea. But you heard it. And it affected you. Like, I know I don't deserve to be up here. I don't. I don't deserve to preach. I'm a sinful man. Prideful, deceitful. That was my character.
Yeah.
I still got to overcome my pride and selfishness and many things that I battle.
Yeah.
But I don't deserve to be up here to preach the word at all.
Mm-hmm.
And why I do what I do is because of the grace of God. I know I don't deserve a thing, and that's why I just give it everything I got every day.
Come on.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
And the message, that's what changed my life. And it takes somebody being in touch and allowing the message to cut their heart. Because when it does, you're ready to serve with everything you have.
Yeah.
You know, he goes on, he says in verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. What a day.
Yeah.
Right? And we had one baptism last week, and that was awesome. Imagine having 3,000. 3,000. And it was only 120. And he challenges them, and they hear them. They ask, what should we do? And Peter challenges, hey, repent. Turn to God. And then get baptized for your forgiveness of your sins. And receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And he warns them and he pleads with them to save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And that's the same call. This is what we're fighting to do every day.
Yeah.
And we can't forget this, church.
Yeah.
We've been saved from a corrupt generation.
Yeah.
I mean, can we all agree?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I was talking with somebody on the way over here. I mean, we're literally living in a godless generation.
Yeah.
True.
God is being driven out of the minds and the hearts of people more and more.
Yeah.
More than it was 20, 30 years ago. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And we beg and plead. Some people are like, man, I feel like you're pressuring me.
Yeah.
I feel like you're pressuring me to be a disciple. I'm like, absolutely, dude.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know what? Read Acts chapter 2.
Yeah.
What was Peter doing? He's begging and he's pleading. Save yourselves.
Yeah.
The salvation is now.
Mm.
Paul was blinded for 3 days. Is that pressure?
Yeah.
That's pressure right there from the Lord. What are you thinking about? Like, think Jesus was pressuring Paul to get right with God right there for a little while?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, Paul talks about, therefore, since we fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. There's a persuasion.
Yeah.
I try to persuade you this morning.
Yeah.
To love God with everything you have.
Come on,
Jacob.
I try to persuade you to give up everything for the one that gave everything up for you. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Maybe this is challenging this morning because it's very quiet in here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to rattle your cage.
Come on,
we're starting a revolution.
Yeah.
And what's going to change this city is us.
Yeah.
Us willing to lay down our lives.
Yeah.
These guys understood it. And they got the message. When one really understands the message, the true call of God, look how you live. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved.
Yeah.
The first century church knew they didn't deserve anything. And here they are, giving up everything. They heard the message and they just gave everything up. There were many. I mean, you go back to the beginning of the chapter, we had people visiting from Rome, from Pamphylia, from Libya, from all these other places.
Yeah.
And they don't go back home. They gave up everything.
Yeah.
Because the church, the kingdom was right there in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And the Bible says they devoted themselves. Now, why would you do that? Because you knew who saved your life. It was Jesus Christ. And that He was Lord. And now you just surrendered everything over. Are you with me?
Yeah, come on, bro.
The Bible says they were devoted. And it fired me up. It fired me up Wednesday night to see everybody there rocking and rolling and ready for first principles class.
Yeah.
It says they devoted themselves to the apostles. And everybody is there just to learn. Everybody getting in teams. At the end of it, we broke up. You had everybody, the captains, pulling the teams together. Like, all right, guys, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do the Quizlet thing here. All right, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to text you this, this, and that, right? And everybody's just excited.
Yeah.
Right? People want that dinner.
Yeah.
Right? People want that dinner. I'm like, I'm getting that dinner. And that's just awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and I think everybody was in awe of God yesterday, seeing the Lord blowing it out right there, just raising money for the Lord, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you get that $100 bill at the end right there. I mean, talk about that. We prayed for that.
Yeah.
And there it was. The Lord blessed it.
Yeah.
You know, we're in awe of God. I mean, I don't know about you. I was in awe of God just seeing God work and seeing Matt baptized last week.
Yeah.
I was in awe of God to see the week before that Austin get baptized right there.
Yeah.
I was in awe of God when I saw Toya baptized before that.
Yeah.
Just see what God is doing.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And the Bible says all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They were just meeting the needs.
Come on,
bro. You know, like, when you understand, you don't deserve anything.
Yeah.
What we do doesn't matter.
Right.
Going to midweek doesn't matter. You don't look at it as a meeting. Bible talk is, it's not a meeting.
Yeah.
Special mission is tithing, sharing your faith, walking with God, actually forgiving, all that. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Because your heart's like, whoa, Jesus did this for me. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You're just joyful to be in the kingdom with the King. And the Bible says the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Yeah. Come on.
And that's just the thing. The church in the first century was just rolling the deep end.
Yeah.
It just was. And God was blessing it in incredible ways.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited to go next week to worship with the San Francisco church.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Come on.
And our heart, I mean, we believe in imitation. Are you with me? 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1 says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ.
Right?
Right?
Yep.
And so there's imitation. And our heart is just to build the church exactly like our brothers and sisters in San Francisco.
Amen.
And we're grateful for San Francisco. I mean, I just keep reminding, like, they raised $26,000 on top of what they're raising for the mission field to plant the church.
Yeah.
And I appreciate Jackie sharing how grateful she was. I mean, she got restored in this church.
Yeah.
Right? So her heart, like, we got to get the Stockton. I'm fighting to get the Stockton.
Yeah.
I want to get the Stockton.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
And it's going to happen. And, you know, and it fires me up because, I mean, our heart is to imitate San Francisco. And I'm just fired up. I mean, here they're going into their fifth anniversary.
So cool.
And I believe this Sunday, I'm on this text message thing right here. And it looked like they were going to have 6 baptisms today.
Wow.
Like, yes. That's awesome.
Come on.
I mean, almost weekly additions, as they say, right? The Lord daily adding to their number.
Wow.
And it inspired me because I know, like, we have the seats. And I want to encourage you this morning. We have the seats.
Yeah.
We have the people here to do this.
Yeah.
We'll get the money.
Yeah.
Are we?
Yeah.
But we have the people here. I'm looking at here. This is an incredible, credible church.
Yeah.
That's going to get to all of Sacramento.
Yes.
5 years from now, man, It's going to blow you away. Those that are still here, some of you might be off on mission teams. We might send Lily to Kiev. I don't know. Right. Might send Isaac to someplace tropical. He really liked the Philippines. He fell in love with Cebu. Who knows? Tyler keeps saying he wants to go to the Netherlands, go back to his home people. Right. Not sure what we're going to do with Andre and Cynthia, Mexico, Guadalajara, Russia. I'm not sure. We'll figure it out. But this morning, I want to encourage us to imitate the heart of the first century Christians. To imitate the heart of Peter and the first century disciples that left everything and followed Jesus. It ignited a revolution, my brothers and sisters. In 30 years' time, you go back and look at this. Our first century family evangelized the world in their generation. Colossians 1 verse 23 says, "And this is the gospel that was heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven." That was 30 years after what we just read right here in Acts chapter 2. And many miracles happened because they were in the deep end. And I believe that we will evangelize not only this city, but the world. I believe that it'll get done. We'll get the resources, we'll get the people. And a year from now, 2 years from now, this is going to be a very different place. Our leaders are going to raise up. Families are going to be come together. Marriages are going to be restored. We're going to see teens baptized. We'll have an AMS ministry. We'll have a sports ministry. Right? We'll see God move in incredible ways. We'll have ministry over in Davis. Yes. We'll have a ministry over at the ARC. Yes. All over.
Yeah.
God's going to do that.
Come on.
And we'll have this season to raise them up to plant a church in Stockton.
Yeah.
And my goal and my prayer goal is by 2020, I really want to plant a church in Fresno.
Yes.
At least work with it to get it to happen. And I believe that will happen.
Yeah.
You know, Eric Clapton sang this song. I'm not going to sing it because I'll just butcher it. Now, some of you didn't know Eric Clapton.
Yep.
All right. Says, if he could change the world.
Yes.
He should have been reading his Bible. John Mayer sung a song. He's waiting on the world to change. Now, John, that's the last thing you can do.
Yeah.
So what needs to change is us to change the world. I don't know, for us, we can't wait.
Yeah.
It's us that's got to change.
Yeah.
To change the world, it starts with us.
Yeah.
And what we've got to do, what I'm calling you to do this morning, is to get in the deep end, church.
Yeah.
The church has got to stay in the deep waters.
Yeah.
Never forget the grace of God.
Right.
Yeah. Never forget that. We don't deserve a thing. And that's why we serve with everything.
Yeah.
Let's live out these words in Colossians 3, verse 23. The Bible says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. As working for the Lord, not for men. See, you're not doing this to please me. You're not doing this to please the guy that's leading the sector. You're not doing this to please your Bible talk leader or the guy that leads the movement. You're doing this for Jesus Christ. And why? Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Family, let's change the world.